go into the Word of the Lord. Amen. Tell me when you guys are ready to record that thing. You guys ready? All right. The Lord is good. Everybody said amen. Take your Bibles out and go with me if you will. Well, just keep your Bibles right now for a second. We'll take our notes out. Holy Spirit, speak to us, we pray this morning. Give us a spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. We thank you for every leader, for every volunteer. We thank you for John Kennedy and Arlene, Father Concepcion, how they serve our youth and our children. We bless them, Lord. Without them, we cannot do what we're doing. I ask you to bless them as they're meeting right now. Bless every greeter. Bless our ushers. Bless every worker, Lord God, in children's ministries. Just bless our youth leadership. Thank you for our singers, our musicians. Just thank you for what you're doing in our house. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're revealing to us what's urgent and pressing upon your heart. And so we come before you this morning with eyes open, ears open, and a heart to perceive. And everybody said amen. Take out your notes. I'm going to recap primarily the first 2 points, and I want to focus on the point of what I really believe the Lord wants to bring across this morning. But there's no question. Let's read the introduction if we can together. There's a supernatural work that's being done by the Holy Spirit today in our midst. It involves the heart of the church being gripped and encountered by the revelation of God's love, the zeal and passion that he has for her, the church, that he may bring her into the fullness of her identity as the bride of Christ. We personally and as a ministry and collectively, corporately, are being dealt with by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, as he seeks to bring us into agreement with the prophetic purposes that he has for us and the nations of the world. Jesus is seeking an intimate partnership with his people, and he is therefore releasing the spirit of revelation over us that we might see the beauty, the splendor, the majesty of the glorified Son of God. As he awakens us into love or unto love, we begin to yearn for his presence more and more until a cry of intimate desperation arises from within our inner man, birthing a deep longing for his return. The passion for his return will result in the Holy Spirit releasing the greatest manifestation of power and might to a mature church or bride who is faithful to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to operate under the anointing and authority of God. And we have some verses there that I'd like to read together if we could. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, "Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And crowns are usually symbolic of overcoming, victorious living, and of course, the crown that, you know, Paul is referring to is a crown of righteousness. But he uses the analogy because in those days they would put these crowns of wreaths made of olive branches and leaves on the heads of people who were part of the so-called Greek and Roman games in the arenas. And so therefore Paul is looking at an actual analogy of men or women, but primarily men that would be in actual races or competitions, and they were granted these crowns. But Paul is referring to the crown of righteousness. And there is a crown that we are able to obtain, but notice, it's rooted in righteousness. And this Christian life, no question, like the Bible says, you know, be sober, be vigilant. Because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, is always seeking and roaming about to seek whom he may devour. But Peter says, resist him steadfastly in the faith. And we have every ability as believers in this day and in this hour. I know where I wanted you to turn. Go to Daniel chapter 8. This is really important because Paul is saying, God is in the business of releasing crowns, but these crowns are righteous crowns. Amen. They're crowns that deal with victory in the spirit life, and they deal with victory in the realm of the things of the Holy Spirit. Daniel in chapter 8, look with me, if you will, at verse number 23. Daniel 8 and verse 23 says this, "And in the latter time," now if you would, chapter 7 and chapter 8, God gives Daniel a vision of the end times. And he gives Daniel the last four main kingdoms that are going to have rule and reign over specifically the people of Israel. But in this last kingdom, or this revived fourth kingdom, the Lord gives Daniel an incredible revelation about how this last kingdom that has the mightiest ruler that's ever lived as a human being in the last days is going to affect somehow the Jewish people and also the believers of Christ. And we can see that in Revelation chapters 12 and 13. So Daniel's chapter 7 and 8 goes with Revelation's chapter 12 and 13. And you get a really good picture of the reign of the Antichrist. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it does say a little bit about what takes place under his reign. And these days are quickly approaching. We can see even in our own country, in America, how our Christian rights are eroding. Bit by bit. I mean, it's no longer popular as it used to be decades ago to be a Christian. I mean, sometimes nowadays, there used to be a day where I could tell people, especially when I travel, oh yeah, I'm a minister, I'm a pastor. And they would look upon you with respect. Nowadays, they almost look upon you with a frown. It's almost like, oh, you're a pastor because, you got nothing else to do. Seriously, that's the response that I get sometimes, or the feeling that I get from people. But we are living in days that are quickly approaching the coming of the Lord. I really believe that. And look what it says there. And in the latter days of their kingdom, or the latter time of their kingdom, watch this, when transgressions or transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features and understanding sinister schemes. Now, that tells us that there's a day coming that transgressors will come to a fullness of maturity. I can't even imagine what evil and immoral things will be available on the internet in that day and hour. Can you imagine what it's going to look like when iniquity, transgression has matured to the highest point in all of human history? I mean, right now we're seeing things available with immorality on the internet that we would have never dreamed about 15, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, just think about a generation ago in the 1940s. I mean, we would have never imagined that such perversion would be available on the, through the internet. And so if it's bad now, can you imagine what it's going to be like when transgressors have reached a full, mark my words, I've said this several years ago, the day is coming where they're going to legalize. They're going to legalize pedophilia in this nation. They're going to legalize it. They're going to legalize. Who would ever thought they would begin to legalize homosexual marriages and also the adoption of children by homosexuals? This is going to become rampant in our nation. The Bible is very, very clear that, that gross darkness will cover the peoples. Isaiah says that. That's going to get darker and darker and darker. And if we as Christians are not secured in our intimate walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't have a crown of righteousness, then believe me, you will not have the power, the grace, or the strength to resist the pull of temptation of darkness. The only security that you have to be able to resist darkness in the days to come, even now, but in the days to come, is going to be the closeness, your intimate relationship with Christ. Having the title of a Christian is not going to do you any good. You've got to know Jesus Christ intimately. You've got to have His Word burning in your heart. You've got to have the witness and testimony of the Holy Ghost speaking to you, breathing in you, and controlling your life, leading and guiding you. I am a firm believer in this, that we need to realize that God is going to give us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Watch this, not only to me, but also to all those who will love His appearing. I would say that the majority of believers do not love, are not consumed, don't dream about the second coming of Jesus. Look at this. This crown of righteousness is given to who? It's given to those who love His appearing. Now, if you study His appearing throughout the book of Revelation, it's not a nice picture. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Revelation chapter 9. Let's look about what His appearing means. We think he's just going to come and show up. I love you. Bless you. Be healed. I want to prophesy over you. That's not what his appearing is not going to be that way. His appearing is a serious matter. Revelation chapter 9 says this. I want you to see this with me. Revelation chapter 9. Oh, how I wish I had my other Bible because I could find it so much easier. Well, you know, I think it's Revelation 7. So go to Revelation 7. Revelation chapter 7. It says somewhere here in Revelation 7 that the people are going to hide in chapter 6. It says that, not 7. So there it is. I just found it. Chapter 6 and verse 14. You know what? Go to verse 12. Let's back it up a little bit more. Revelation 6, 12. I looked, and he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as figs drop in its late, and when a fig tree drops its figs in the late season, when it is shaken by a mighty wind. This is what the coming of the Lord will be like. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain, say every mountain. That means every mountain, guys. Every mountain and every island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, it does not say the kings of the Middle East, it's the kings of the earth. It means the leaders of the nations of the earth, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free. You notice how it says every slave? There's human trafficking taking place right now all over the nations of the earth. And even back then, back 2,000 years ago when this was written, they saw that even slavery would come back in this day, in this hour. Great men, rich men, commanders, mighty men, every slave, every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us. Hide us. Fall on us. Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This is what the second coming is all about. So when we love his appearing, we're saying we love his judgments. Amen. When we say we love his appearing, we're saying we love his righteous standards. We love his holy standards. Those who don't love his right, those who don't love his appearing, is because they have compromise in their hearts. It's a serious thing to desire the coming of the Lord. And I am telling you, we're living in a day where the Holy Spirit is supernaturally provoking the heart of the church to want to desire the coming of Jesus. This is part of the work of the Lord in this day and this hour. Luke 17, 22, there in your notes. He said to his disciples, the days will come, watch this, when you will desire. And for the most part, throughout the Middle Ages, the church was dead, sleeping. They just wanted religion. They didn't want the presence of the Lord. But the Bible says there's a day coming when the church is going to wake up and the church will begin to desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. They're going to desire to see one of the days like when Jesus was physically here on earth. In other words, there's going to be a supernatural craving. I believe that we're in the beginning of stages of that, where the Lord is awakening a desire, a passion, a zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you desire to encounter God more and more in your life? This is a supernatural work that only the Spirit of God can do. Look at Joel 2:23 there in your notes. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. He's given to you the former rain faithfully. He'll cause the rain to come down for you, both the former and the latter rain. You see these three things. There is, number one, a longing for the second coming. Number two, a longing for intimacy. Number three, a longing for his power to manifest. These are the things the Spirit of God is doing. How is he doing that? Turn the page over. By the Spirit of Revelation. The Holy Spirit is doing three main things I want to discuss. Amen. This morning. Number one, he is releasing revelation to the church. The Spirit of Revelation is being released upon the body of Christ like at no other time. The understanding that God has given to leadership like Mike Bickle and others, and Lou Engle and other great men and women in this day and this hour that serve as apostles and prophets in the body of Christ, the understanding of the urgency of the hour, the understanding of the end times is absolutely mind-boggling. The understanding, the revelation that's being released. And this goes according to what Daniel 12 and 3, I believe verse 3 says, that in the latter times, the hidden things will be unsealed. That it will begin to be revealed. We're living in the day where the Lord is unsealing things that have been kept secret and kept hidden for hundreds and thousands of years. We're living in that day where the spirit of revelation is being released. As a matter of fact, there in your notes, Amos 3:7, I want you to see this. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. There is being released a prophetic spirit. Let me show you how it's being released. Because how many of you can say you are dreaming regularly? Raise your hands. You're getting dreams and visions. You see, if we would have asked that question 10, 15, 20 years ago, very few hands would have gone up. But the Holy Spirit is releasing dreams and visions. And in these dreams and visions, he is making known his plan, his will. Why? Because he wants to prepare us for what's about to take place. He takes great pleasure in his people watching and being alert so that they're not caught off guard. But it takes a people that are actually seeking his face and yielding to the revelations that he's given to us. And he's doing so through dreams and visions. The prophetic is being released over the nations of the earth like at no other time. What we do here on the platform, Harp and Bowl, is a form of the prophetic. Harp and Bowl is prophetic. We're singing songs of the Lord. We're prophesying through music. And it's coming forth in the form of revelation. The Holy Spirit is revealing the secrets of God. Why? Because he wants to reveal to us how to get prepared and how to get ready. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that wait, or the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Hello? You love his appearing? You love him? The result is revelation. I'm going to say that again. You love his appearing, and you seek him, and you love him. Your reward is revelation. Revelation. There are times where I pick my Bible up and I got to put it down. Lord, you're just speaking way too much, way too loud. Just slow. Lord, sometimes it's hard to keep up. And so thank God for smart devices, and thank God for notepads and all these different gadgets and Evernote. And you're typing up all this stuff and you're jotting down all these little revelations that God's give you. And then you have to figure time to go back to it and relook at those areas. But the Lord is speaking so clearly in this day and this hour. And if you're not hearing God's voice, you need to check to see whose voice you're listening to. Because we're all listening to a voice. We're not hearing God's voice effectively, then that means perhaps, it's not that God's not speaking, it's because maybe we're dull because of the things we've opened ourselves up to. It's very clear in Scripture. Because the Bible makes it very, very clear. He has revealed those things to those whom God has prepared for, or those who love him. He's always speaking. He wants to speak to you through dreams, visions. He wants to slow you down. God has revealed those things to us through his Spirit. For his Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. Point number two, one of the key things that I believe the Holy Spirit is doing, And we focus very, very strongly here at OHOP, is that God is releasing the revelation of the priestly bride. And that's part of our core value classes. That's why we teach on the Song of Solomon. We teach on the eternal glory of the intercessor. Because the key thing that the Holy Spirit is doing in this house and in many houses of prayer and in many ministries is that he is releasing the revelation of a priestly bride. And if we are not careful, according to Matthew 13 and verse 22, the word of God will be choked in our lives because of distraction, busyness, activity, If, you know, how many of you have a car? That car was designed to run on what? Gasoline. It's not designed to run on water. It's liquid, but it's not designed that way. Do you realize that when you and I were born, we were designed with a specific DNA? That DNA, according to Revelation chapter 4, and for thy pleasure, they are created. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Yes. We were created, according to Revelation 4, for the pleasure of God. Yes. That's why you were, when God designs you, yes. He designs you this way. You can only be fulfilled in life by fulfilling my pleasure. Yes. When He created you, He created you with a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so therefore, you were created with a spirit. And the only way to connect and communicate with God is with our spirit. That's why if you're prayerless, you're not happy. If you're wordless, you're not happy. Well, what does the word got? Because Jesus says, my word is spirit. And they are life. It's life. If your life is not filled with the Spirit, if your life is not filled with the Word, you cannot be content. You cannot be satisfied. And so therefore, you will be tempted to look at other areas to make up for the areas of lack of fulfillment. That's your DNA. There's nothing else that's going to satisfy you. And so we try to fill our lives up with busyness and activity. And we don't use the gifts and talents that God has given to us, because those gifts and talents were not made primarily to make money, although God uses that to provide for our needs. But our gifts and talents were made to be yielded over as an offering and sacrifice to Jesus, to serve His people, serve His body. If we're not satisfied in life, we need to look at our sacrifice.
Yes.
Are we sacrificing our lives? I told you, this is not your typical church. And we're not going to preach nice bless me messages. Because the truth is the bless me message. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Jesus said. That's the bless me message. This bless me message, oh, you know, God understands your weakness. Don't worry about it. You're under grace. That's a lie. The lie is this. The truth is this. God understands your weakness. But He's also giving you strength. He's giving you His spirit. You don't have to tolerate this thing anymore. You can live an overcoming life. This is how you were made. You were created to know God. You were created to walk with God. You were created to fellowship with God. You were created to hear His voice. You were created to commune with Him. You were created to fellowship with Him. You were created to worship Him. You were created with permission to come boldly into the throne room of grace. That's how you were created. Well, you don't understand how weak I am. Well, then you run to His presence. I'm not worthy. Who says you're not worthy? Jesus paid the price already. When you come into the presence of God with your weakness, you're coming in covered with the blood. And you're automatically accepted. And when you're in that presence, you say, God, I'm weak. Cleanse me. Strengthen me. Then fess up. Confess. Admit your need. But you always have an open door invitation. The scepter of the king is always stretched out towards you, like the way King Ahasuerus did toward Esther. Stretched out the scepter. You're accepted into my presence. Now reach out and touch that scepter, because you're invited into the presence of the king. You were made to know God. You were created to be fruitful. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, this scares the bazooka out of me. This really scares me to know this, that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord.
Wow, my mind.
Oh, Lord, you don't understand. My pastor said this, and my pastor did that, and I just, you know, so here's your one minor that I covered. There's no excuse for not being faithful to the Lord, because there's a day coming, beloved, and I tell you the truth, we're going to be held accountable. We're going to stand before Jesus, and guess what? Your mommy, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your best friend, your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, your grandparents are not going to stand next to you vouching for you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do all these many works in your name? But then I'm going to declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Lord, help us. Help us. So many of us do not realize. Listen, you cannot ride on the coattails of someone else's faith. You got to stand on your own 2 feet. And the best way to stand on your own 2 feet is encounter the intimacy of God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, turn the page over. He is stirring passions and desires in this day and in this hour. Look at point C. Prophetically speaking, we are in an hour where longings, passions, and desires for the Lord are being stirred within the heart of the church. That's where we're at. We are in the hour. The Holy Ghost. I remember when I was about maybe 10 years old, maybe younger, you know, there was an old tree that just fell over. And there was this beautiful sticky stuff in the tree. And all these critters with wings that were feeding on this sticky stuff. And I was younger than 10. I was maybe like 6 or 7. And we had a big party at our house. And my cousin said, hey, Carlos, take this stick and go just get some of that sticky stuff. It's called honey. You know, I go, what are those things that are all over that all over that sticky stuff? Oh, they're just little bugs. They won't bother you. So I went there, and I took the stick, and I began to turn that thing all around like this. And then all of a sudden, those big bugs, they looked at me. And I go, oh, no. And what I didn't realize is as I was doing this, my cousins were all doing this. And the next thing I know, those things got up, and I ran. And I'm Hackensack, Mom. I ran. And I'm like, oh. I'm crying and everything. As I was getting bit by these bugs. And I'm saying this. There's a stirring going on. And the enemy's not happy about it. And the enemy's trying to intimidate you. Because the Holy Ghost is doing something fresh inside of you. There's an inner power. There's an inner joy. There's an inner flavor. There's an inner joy. There's an inner honey of the Holy Ghost. An inner taste of God that He wants you to tap into. But you know what? The enemy's not going to like that. But we're in an hour where the Holy Ghost is stirring things in the church. And the stirring is this. Hey, this is no longer acceptable. It's never been acceptable, but I'm going to put pressure on this right now. What you're watching, what you're hearing, what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're talking, who you're hanging out with. Jesus. It's no longer acceptable in my sight. Yeah. My pleasure will no longer, you will feel my displeasure. Yeah. You're going to feel my displeasure, says God. I really feel that from the Holy Ghost. God is releasing a divine displeasure upon many of us that we can feel the heaviness of what is happening and doing in this day and hour. Because the Lord loves you so much, He's going to go after you. He's going to haunt you. I'm serious. When I came out of my encounter and I laid there and I cried for 2 hours, I'm like, oh, and I was haunted for 2 hours. Why did I say that? We're not ready. We're not ready. The Lord knew that I was being haunted for 2 hours, and He wanted me to feel the pain of it. The hour is urgent, and He's raising up a bride that's going to walk intimately with Him and wear her crown rightfully. Bible says in John 2:17, the disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has consumed me. There is a consuming thing taking place in the church right now. Point number three. Here's another point I believe the Holy Spirit is doing. He's releasing the end time revelation of a glorified Christ. The rightful place. This man called Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. And what we have to understand is that He is actually on a throne in heaven as a man. Powerful. Flesh and blood. He goes up to Thomas. Thomas, reach out your hand. Touch me. Touch my hand. You see that spirit does not have flesh and blood as I have right now. Reach your finger and put it in my side. Put it in my wounds to see that I am flesh and I am blood. I am telling you, church, this one that we love and we worship on Sundays, this one that we love and we spend time with, he is not some spirit just floating up there. He's a man in flesh and blood. And because he's a man, he has the right to return and take the throne of his father David and take the throne that Adam messed up and redeem it back. And because he's a man, we as human beings can identify with him and he can identify with us. And because he was tempted like we were in all points, yet without sin, he is able to save us to the uttermost. Because he's a man. He is not some spirit floating in the air, church. I am telling you, he is the Son of God and he's the Son of Man. And the reason why we must have a revelation of the glorified Christ is because only the glorified Christ can give us victory in the days to come. The book of Revelation is about one main thing, the revelation of Jesus. It is not about the Antichrist. It is not about the persecution coming to the church. It is about the person, the work, the glory, and the judgments of the Son of God who is returning as a man. Hallelujah. Someone say hallelujah. The Son of Man is returning. And because he's coming back as a man, let me tell you, In the first coming, he came on a donkey. He came humble. He came to heal. He came to bless. He came to save. He came to set free. And he brought judgment on the spiritual forces, the kings in the spirit realm. The second time, he's not coming on a donkey. He's coming on a war horse. The second time, he's not coming as a healer. He's coming as a judge. The first time, he came as a deliverer. The second time, he's coming as a destroyer. The first time, he came as a shepherd. The second time, he's coming as a judge. Oh, he had a rod in his hand the first time. It was a shepherd's rod. Oh, he's going to have a rod the second time, the rod of his judgment. There's a different picture of the Jesus that's coming back. We cannot have a distorted version or distorted view of who Jesus is. He's coming on a war horse. That's why in Revelation 6, they're hiding under the rocks in the caves because they're saying, hide us from the wrath of him who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. That's why. And when he comes a second time, he's coming not to judge. Satan's already judged. It's a done deal. He's coming to judge flesh. He judged the spirit realm the first coming. The second coming, he's coming to judge all the kings, all the earth, all the compromisers, and the workers of iniquity. That's the second coming. He dealt with the spirit realm the first coming. Second realm, he's coming for the human beings. All those who oppose him and resist him. Get on the right side. One day Moses said, whose side is on the Lord? Come and stand behind me. And whoever's on Dathan's side, you stand behind them. And you know what happened? The earth split open and swallowed them alive. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And God is angry not at people. He's angry at sin. He's angry at immorality. And I know this may come across as a hard message, but I am here to tell you, it's a grace message that we don't have to live this way. We got the Holy Ghost living inside of us. And the Holy Ghost gives us victory in righteousness, and he gives us a crown as an overcomer. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah.
Read the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation will give you insight into the coming days, especially chapters 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 1 and 2 and 3 reveal Jesus magnified, reveal him glorified, but it also gives us the seven key messages to help us live an overcoming life even today. Those seven messages in Revelation still have an effect and apply to us today. I really believe those are seven prophetic revelations to live an overcoming life in the last days. Because things are going to get dark. Now let's get to the crux of what I wanted to say in the next 15 minutes. So I'm sorry, I'm going to go a little bit over today. I am not sorry because the Holy Spirit's moving. Point number four. If I can get somebody to get on a keyboard, I can help with that. That'd be great. Point number four is this. The promise of an end time outpouring of God's Spirit. Church, we must contend for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We must. We are in an hour where the Spirit of God is releasing His presence in unprecedented ways. Now, you may say, well, I speak in tongues. I already got filled with the Holy Spirit. How many years ago was that? Do we realize that was a partial down payment? It's not the full measure of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was only a down payment in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. That's only the down payment. We're about to experience the fullness of it. You turn the page over, look at point B. Joel 2, verse 30 and 32 has not been fulfilled yet. Nor has Acts chapter 2, verse 28 and beyond. Verse 20 and beyond. That has not been fulfilled yet either. What we have right now is only the down payment. Because the fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit includes this. I want you to see this. It includes the following. It includes Joel chapter 2, verse 30 and 32. As a matter of fact, let's all turn to Revelation, to Acts chapter 2. We'll just quote it out of there. I want to, in the next 15 minutes or so, I want to provoke you to believe for you to tap into your spiritual gifts. To tap into the anointing of the Holy Spirit. To tap into the power of God. We must have power in this hour. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit in this hour. If not, then we're handicapped. We're not walking in full freedom or in full victory, nor can we. Acts chapter 2, look with me if you will. You know, verse 17 says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit, so on and so on. Verse 18 says, upon my men servants and maid servants, that means everybody, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And I look at verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth, now watch this, and beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Didn't we just read that in Revelation 6? This is part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was prophesied. You can draw a line after verse number 18. And we can say, we've been walking in that. We've been walking to a certain measure. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy dreams and visions. We've been seeing more of that. That's increasing. But we've only had a down payment. But what we haven't yet seen pour out was the rest of the prophecy. If you go back to Joel, as part of this prophecy, there's no division. It's included in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And when Peter quotes Joel, he also includes this part of the prophecy as a part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there's 2,000 years of outpouring of the Holy Ghost. From the time that in Acts chapter 2 until the day that Jesus comes back, around roughly 2,000 years, it's 2,000 years of phases of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But we read earlier, I'm going to give you not only the former rain, I'm going to give you the latter rain too. What they had in Acts 2 was only the former rain. But we've been promised both the former and the latter rain together. Church, someone better shout and rejoice. I don't think they're getting it, George. The former and the latter rain together. I mean, just, you want to find out what the former rain is? Read about Peter's shadow healing people. And then Jesus says the former and the latter rain together. I can't even imagine that. Where the power of God was so strong upon Paul that they would bring aprons and handkerchiefs and say, just touch it, touch it, touch it. And the power of God would have transferred to these pieces of cloth, and they would bring the cloths and lay them on their sick family members, and they were instantly healed. And we're talking about that rain, but the latter rain together. Oh, glory to God. Do you realize what's in store for the end time church? Do you realize the responsibility that you and I have to know God, to walk in closeness to His heart? Because the Holy Ghost is revealing this. My heart is consumed with this. My heart is burning for this stuff. When I travel, my heart burns. Manifest your power. Oh, by the way, I'm also putting together an intercessory team. So when I travel with a team, I got team people. I got people interceding while we're even ministering. So I'm also putting that together. But we're living in an hour where the Holy Ghost is looking for power in everyday circumstances. Went to see my son Landon run track and field, and I saw a man in severe pain. And I said, Lord, and he goes, I want you to pray for him. I go, okay, I will. And it's a little embarrassing sometimes, but guys, walking the sidewalk, leaving the stadium. And so I stop and say, sir, what's wrong with you? And they tell me what happened. I go, can I pray with you? And I built this faith up. I said, I've seen God heal so many people. He goes, absolutely. Took his hat off right there on the street. And I laid hands on his body. And I spoke healing. He said, thank you very much. I believe that God's going to touch that man. But you know what? We need to start releasing the power of God that God has given to us. We need to start releasing it by faith. Step out. Step out. Let's go to point number 5 as I close here. Oh, this is good. I know I'm skipping so much. So I'm going to challenge you to take these notes and read them at home. We must believe and contend for the fullness of God's power in our lives. Guys, we have to believe in this. Jesus made it very clear. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He said that. He also says, in my name, you'll cast out devils. In my name, you'll heal the sick. In my name, you'll raise the dead. You'll cleanse lepers. That's what he said. So then why aren't we doing it? Because that's for the pastors to do on Sunday mornings, No, that's not what the Bible says. Whosoever believes, the Bible says. He who believes in my name. How many believe in the name of Jesus? 4 or 5 of you. How many believe in the name of Jesus? In my name, you will believe. You're still not convinced? Okay, let's look at the Bible a little bit further. Look at your notes there. Point A. John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Who is the he? Well, those who have little faith will say that's somebody else. But those who want to believe for more faith, they're going to say that he is me. Say that he is me. Tell somebody that he is me. Come on, turn to somebody else. Turn to somebody behind you and say that he is me. Those of you watching by internet, say that he is me. You are the he. You are the me and the he. And you will do greater works. Jesus says you shall receive power, Acts 1:8. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. The purpose of power is to witness. That's the purpose of power, is to witness to the call of God. Peter said this in Acts 2:38, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall. He didn't say maybe, or if it's a good day, or if there's an anointed preacher. He says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have repented of your sins? Okay? How many of you have said yes to Jesus? Do you have the Holy Ghost of power? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the promise is to you, to your children, and to everyone afar off. That gift is for you. Turn the page over as I get ready to close here. Oh, this is so good. So good, Lord. Let me just quickly go over this page, tell you this. I'm not going to read it in the scriptures, but it is very clear according to 1 Corinthians 12:31 and 14:1, point C there. that you are expected to desire spiritual gifts. Desire. You are expected to desire. One of the reasons why we don't hear from God, we don't flow in the Holy Ghost, we have very little of the anointing manifesting through us, is because we don't desire the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Turn the page over. And because, point D, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not earned. I'm going to say that again. The gifts of God are not earned. The anointing of God is not earned. Because the gifts and the anointing of God is for the sake of other people. That's why God can anoint a donkey. Or that's why God could anoint a Saul, who was, you know, a very carnal king. Could anoint them, he could prophesy. Because it was, and that's why he could anoint Caiaphas and speak and prophesy through Caiaphas, the high priest. That's why he can anoint and use, you know, Judas Iscariot. God will use anybody to get his purposes done. That's why you cannot judge a man's righteousness or holy life based upon his spiritual gifts or the anointing upon his life. Because, I mean, I've anointed Cyrus. He is my servant. Cyrus was a Persian king. Nebuchadnezzar, an ungodly king. God said, that's my servant. I'm going to anoint him to fulfill a specific task. God will use godly men, ungodly men, and he will anoint them to fulfill a specific task. You cannot judge a man or a woman's righteous life based upon their anointing. Because you know what? A lot of us can be fooled by charisma. Charisma fools many people. Oh God, what a man of God he is. He can prophesy. He can heal the sick. Wow, the authority that man carries. You don't know that man's life. Jump down to point E. This is what I will close with this. Once you desire gifts, stir yourself in a gift. Stir up the Holy Ghost inside of you. Take that Holy Ghost stick. Stir up the Holy Ghost inside of you. Desire those spiritual gifts. Taste and see. Taste and see. Make sure there's no bees. When you taste, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste the honey of the Holy Ghost. You taste that honey, get stirred in the Holy Ghost, and see what God is going to do. Now look there. It says there that, look, if you will, 1 Peter 4:10, your notes. As each one, say each one. Each one includes me. As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another, being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are expected to be faithful with the gifts that he's given to you. I don't know what gifts I got to give. I need to ask and find out. Find out what gifts the Holy Ghost has given to you. And you're expected by God to be faithful to those gifts. Be faithful to that. Point one, point E. Then I will close with this last point here, this last part. Demonic spirits will fight each of us to hinder the Holy Spirit's anointing and power from manifesting in and through us. Satan seeks to intimidate us by pointing out our weaknesses, our fears, and our failures. God's word instructs us to resist his lies, stand in faith, and remain faithful to all that God has imparted to us. Number one, we must remember this. God has not chosen the wise, nor the mighty, nor the noble of this world, but he's chosen the foolish, the weak, and the lowly of the world. When he chose me, he chose a very weak, messed up vessel. He is choosing vessel, and he's purposely going after the weak. Oh, you don't understand, God, I'm so weak. My past, I understand your past, but I'm cleansing your past. I understand your weakness, but I'm going to strengthen you. Oh, God, but I can't be used. I'm so weak. Ah, I'm going to show my grace and my strength even throughout your weakness. And as I show you my anointing, even when you mess up and when you're weak, it's going to humble you even more because I know your heart. You desire me. You want me. And so when I anoint you, even when you don't deserve to be anointed and you don't deserve to be used because you just messed up, you're going to feel, oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, yes, strengthen me. You're going to quickly repent because you're going to see that my anointing is so good on your life. God is playing, if I can say it this way, he is playing reverse divine psychology on us.
He is anointing us in our weakness. Oh God, I haven't prayed. Oh God, I haven't read the word in 5 days. The Lord would say it to you. And you wonder, where did that come from, God? I don't deserve to be used that way. The enemy knows that. He knows how we're made up psychologically, emotionally. And what he does, you don't have a right to prophesy. You don't have a right to go down to the altar and pray for somebody. You don't have a right to be used of the Lord. You haven't been praying lately. He'll throw your weakness. Give me 2 or 3 more minutes here, church. New believers, watch this. New believers in the early church were immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. They were immediately filled with the Holy Spirit once they got saved. And it was evidenced with speaking in tongues. I want to pray this morning for people who have never received tongues. You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Or perhaps you feel like something happened and you're not, no longer being used in that. Number 3, the Corinthian church was rich in the exercising of spiritual gifts. But there was lots of division and jealousy and carnality in the church. And yet Paul commended them for using the gifts. So their immaturity was not an excuse to hinder them from flowing in the gifts. Timothy, a disciple of Paul, was the overseer, the bishop of the church of Ephesus. But he was troubled and harassed by the spirit of fear and intimidation. And that's why Paul had to write him, Timothy, stir up. Timothy was already a bishop, an apostle. And Paul has to write him and say, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in you. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Church, we cannot allow our weaknesses to give us an excuse to not press in. I am telling you, as you press in, even though you're weak and feel like you messed up and you're not there, you're fully sanctified yet. But if you press in, it'll be a way of humbling you. Number 5. Simply because a believer is young in the Lord does not mean that God can't use him. We must be an example of faith, and faithfully operate in the spiritual gifts of God that he's given to us. The study of God's word and living holy greatly encourages us in the gifts. He says to Timothy, watch this, let no one despise your youth. Young people, there's fire inside of you. Don't let the Holy Ghost be quenched to have back problems because he's so hindered, stuck inside of you. Let him out! Adults, it's time to experience a full measure of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be an example of word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. Do not neglect the gift of God in you, which was given to you. Meditate on these things. You want to strengthen your anointing, your gifts? Meditate. Study the gifts. Study the Holy Spirit. Study the anointing. And number 4 will be the last thing. We must understand that in Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he wrote to guide them, to help them administrate the church in a healthy way. A key topic of instruction was a manifestation and administration of spiritual gifts. Paul makes it very clear. Watch this. I hope this grabs you. Paul makes it very clear that the ministry of the Holy Spirit and his gifts is a commandment of God. He says there, if anyone thinks that he is spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are commandments of the Lord. And he's writing about chapter 14 about the gifts. Chapters 12 through 14 is all about the gifts and the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And Paul ends chapter 14 by saying, the things that I've written to you, these are the commandments of God. Church, you are commanded to figure out your spiritual gift and flow in that gift. Now let's all stand to our feet. How many of you can say God spoke to us today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now this morning, this afternoon, I want to be able to pray for 3 kinds of people. Number 1, I'm going to have our leaders come forward. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you never spoke in tongues, I want you to come to my left where Pastor Keith is at. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need forgiveness of sins, I want you to come right here in the middle. And if you are saying, I need to tap into my gifts, I need to recharge, I need to get filled again, I need to figure out what my gifts are, I need a fresh anointing in my life, I need a fresh touch. If that's you, I want you to come down to my right. So if you need a healing in your body, if you need a physical touch in your life, if you need a breakthrough, just come to my right. And if you're saying, I want a fresh anointing, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to make sure I'm right with God, I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I've never spoken in tongues, and I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, you come over here to my left. If you want to say, I want to give my life to the Lord afresh, I want to rededicate my life, come to the middle. And if you're saying, I need a fresh baptism of fire, I've been filled, but for whatever reason, I'm not flowing to the Lord anymore like I used to, but I need fresh fire, I need to get rebaptized and refilled, come to my right. The rest of you, you can stay. God bless you. We'll see you in the prayer room this week. Just lift up your hands right now if you can, and we're going to sing a song of worship or two here. If I can have our leaders get ready to minister to these people. Thank you, Jesus.